Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Pei Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 5 lines from the bottom of Daf Pei Zayin. You will notice a new Mishnah, second wide line. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Mivneh, a structural note, which features the double underlining you see in the Mishnah. Havlotas Mikrim. We're going to be encountering cases, so we're highlighting the beginning of the cases. And you can see diamonds highlighting the expressions Yekayim or Hofer. The Mishnah. Omra, Kinim Te'enim Vanovim Elu Shani Toemes. A woman vows not to eat figs and grapes. Kiyem l'teinim kulo kayim. If he, the husband, substantiates the vow with regard to the figs, the whole vow is substantiated, so that she cannot eat figs nor grapes, and that's it. The vow stands. There's a concept that we can introduce, and that's hakoma b'mitzas having hakoma, partial. Substantiation is equal to complete substantiation. Hofer l'teinim, on the other hand, if he annuls the vow with regard to the figs, eino mufar, ach yofer af lanovim. It's not considered annulled until he annuls regarding the grapes also. Now, what does the expression eino mufar mean, that it's not? It's not annulled. The Ran has two possibilities. One possibility is that if he annuls with regard to Einim, it's not annulled with regard to the Anovim, but it is annulled with regard to the Te'enim. The second version is that Eino Mufar means it's not annulled with regard to the Te'enim as well. Certainly not with regard to the Anovim, he didn't annul it with regard to that, but even with regard to that he annulled the Te'enim, the vow is not annulled. It's not annulled at all then. Omro kainim te'eno she'ani to'emes, ve'anovo she'ani to'emes. Here she vows not to eat a fig and not to eat a grape. Notice the difference between this vow and the previous one. In the previous one, the kainim applied immediately or equally to the te'enim and the anovim. There was no gap, there was no separation expression in the vow. The toemes came at the end. Here, you see a separate toemes expression for each fruit. And as a result, the Mishnah says, Hare elu shnei nedarim. This constitutes two separate vows. And therefore, if he was mekayim, if he verified or substantiated the vow with regard to one, it doesn't mean there's a substantiation with regard to the other. And of course, when we say that there may be no substantiation, that leaves room for it to yet be annulled. Rashi, you'll note, continues, we'll say, onto Amud Beis. And on the second line from the top of Amud Beis, Rashi says, "Kainim teino zu she'eni tayemes, v'arova zu she'eni tayemes, arei lu shnei nedorim, hu v'chilka te'ima b'intayim." Since there's a separate te'ima in the middle, she'im ki'em lanovim, lo ki'em l'teinim, v'chayav aleim shnei lavim. And as a result, each one constitutes a separate lav, a separate negative command. Moni Masnisen. According to whom is the Mishnah? What characterizes the Mishnah is that only by Hakoma do we say that Hakoma B'miksas is considered Hakoma for everything, as opposed to Hafora? So the Gemara answers, Rebbe Yishmoel Hi. This split between our approach to Hakoma versus Hafora is in line with Rebbe Yishmoel. The Sanya. The Pasuk says, Isha Yekimenu V'Isha Yefirenu. This Pasuk is referring to a husband and his ability to annul his wife's vows and substantiate them. Omra, we should point out then, in this Pasuk of Isha Yekimenu V'Isha Yefirenu, it's as if the word Yekimenu means Yokim Mimenu, meaning the idea of establishing a fraction, a part, is considered a complete hakoma. So the concept, once again, of establishing, of substantiating a part, is based on the idea of the word yekimenu has, at the end of the word, the last letters are mem, nun, vav, and it's if you understand that to mean mimenu. Yokim mimenu, mimenu means from it. So a reference to a partial establishment or partial substantiation. And if a husband does a partial substantiation, it's as if he substantiated the entire vow. The word yefirenu, however, doesn't have a mem, nun, vav ending to it, so it doesn't lend itself to that drasha. Therefore, hafora b'miksas, the partial hafora, is not considered a complete hafora. If a woman vowed not to eat these figs and grapes, if he substantiates the vow, the husband substantiates the vow with regard to the tainim, the entire vow is substantiated. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Hofer l'tainim, eino mufor ad shiofer af lanovim, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. If he annuls the vow with regard to the Ta'anim, it's not annulled until he mentions in his annulment the grapes as well. And that's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, and this is what we saw in our Mishnah. So our Mishnah would correspond to Rabbi Shmuel. The trapezoid that you see here is to highlight the different opinions of the Tanoim on this topic. You'll see if you just scan ahead, there are actually three opinions. Two of them appear in this source. A third opinion appears a bit later. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Hare Hu Omer, the Pasuk says, Isha Yekimenu V'Isha Yefirenu. Ma Yekimenu is Mimenu. Just like Yekimenu. Here, Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Shmuel on the drosha of Yekimenu. The idea of partial substantiation is like an entire substantiation. Yefirenu equals mimenu. So to yefirenu is to be understood that if he annuls part, it's considered as if the whole vow has been annulled. For Rabbi Shmuel, who does not say thusly, that namely, the hafora b'miksas, according to Rabbi Shmuel, is not hafora. Miksiv yofer mimenu. Do you have in the word yefirenu the possibility of darshaning mimenu? We said that before with regard to Yekimenu, where it had a mem, nun, vav ending, which sounds like the word mimenu. You don't have that in the word Yefirenu, resh, nun, vav, for Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, okay, it's true that it's not in the word, it's not in the letters, it's not in the word itself. However, makish hafora la koma, we compare, the pasuk compares hafora to hakoma. Ma hakoma mimenu. According to Rabbi Akiva, the emphasis, the mainstay of the pasuk is Yekimenu. It's the first of the two words that appeared in the pasuk, and he gives precedence or emphasis to that. And as a result, the concept of mimenu, partialness, appears with regard to hakoma, and hafora is compared to hakoma. So he says, just like hakoma is mimenu, af hafora mimenu, so too hafora exists in a partial sense. Namely, a partial annulment leads to an entire vow annulment. The next four lines constitute a singular point. As you can see, we've marked it off thusly. Omar Reb Chiyo Bar Abba, Omar Reb Yochanan, Zu Divrei Reb Yishmoel V'Reb Akiva. In the Tanaic source above, so we've seen two Tanoim, both of whom agree regarding Hakoma, that Hakoma B'Mikzas is considered a complete Hakoma. There's a third Tanaic opinion. Avo Chachomim Oimrim, Makish Hakoma La'Hafora. The Chachomim present as the preeminent element the Hafora, and the Hakoma is compared to it. And they say, Ma Hafora, Ma Shehofer Hofer, Af Hakoma, Ma Shekiem Kiem. Just like Hafora, that which you were Mefer is considered undone. If you were Mefer with regard to part of it, so that part is annulled, not the other part. So too with regard to Hakoma, that part of the vow that you substantiated is substantiated, not the other part. Omro Kainim Tainim. In the Mishnah we saw an example of a woman saying Kainim Tainim Shani Tainis Vanovim Shani Tainis. And we highlighted at the time that the expression toemis, being that it repeats itself once for te'enim and once for anovim, that creates a sense of two separate vows. And the Mishnah itself declared, thusly, harei elu shnei nedorim. Omar Rova, masnisin Rebbe Shimon hi. Our Mishnah is in accordance with Rebbe Shimon. That, and that has to do with the idea of what in Hebrew we call chiluk, the idea of itemizing or separateness. And here the Gemara is very terse. It's really citing another sugya not found here whatsoever, but it has to do with someone was charged with having been entrusted with items by five different people, and the one entrusted swears to the people that he doesn't have their item. And then it turns out that he's lying. The question is, if he swears to five different people, how many violations, how many oaths did he violate? So that if you have, let's say, a group vow, five people charging him, you know, each one saying, you have something I entrusted, and he says, I don't have anything of yours in the plural. So that's, and he turns out that he's lying, so that's one vow. Let's say he says, Shavua she'eini chayav lo l'cha v'lo l'cha v'lo l'cha. I swear that I don't have anything, and here we use the word yours in the singular, referring to five different people, I don't have anything of yours, nor of yours, nor of yours. And it turns out that he's lying. So if he says something like that, according to Rabbi Shimon, there isn't any expression of separation. Once again, that's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. And therefore, even though he said, I don't have anything of yours, and he said, and of yours, and of yours, and of yours, it's considered one vow, one oath. However, if he says, Shvua lo lecha, u'shvua lo lecha, u'shvua lo lecha, he repeats the word Shvua to each one of the individuals, that creates separateness. And in the event that he was lying to each one of those people, he's then chayav a separate sacrifice, which is the requirement for someone who lies under oath. So now in the Gemara, Rava tells us that our Mishnah that says that how do you create separateness in the vows? By having a separate word, to'emes, in this case, for each type of fruit. That is in accordance with Rabbi Shimon. And here you can appreciate what the Gemara says after our explanation. If this is in accordance with Shimon, Yomar Ad Shioma, that means he's not considered in violation of a separate oath until he says Shvua Lechol Echad V'Echad. And likewise in our Mishnah, by the fact that she uses the word To'emes for each type of fruit separately, that creates the separateness of vows. And now we have a Mishnah. You see the diamonds in this Mishnah are here to highlight separate cases. Yodea ani sheyesh nedarim aval eini yodea sheyesh mefirim. A husband whose wife had vowed, and he says to us that I know there is such a thing as vows. In other words, I know there's such a thing as the ability to vow, to make a neder, but I did not know that there is such a thing as annulment. So, you have a case of a man who heard his wife vow a while ago. And today, we tell him, hey, you know, husbands have the right to annul vows. Can he annul the vow? Yofer, upon hearing this information for the first time that he can be mefer, so he has that day in which to be mefer, even though it's many days since he heard the vow. In general, I'm assuming, of course, that everyone is familiar with these laws. We've spent so much time in the past on them that a person is able, in general, to annul a wife's vow only within the day that he heard the vow. In this case, it's a long time after he heard the vow. But this fellow didn't know that there was the power of annulment. So because of that, he has this extension, so to speak, that upon hearing that he can annul, so that's considered the day that he discovers annulment is considered the day of his hearing of the vow. Another case. Yodea ani sheyesh mefirin aval eini yodea sheyesh neder. I know that there's such a thing as annulment, but I didn't know that which she said was a neder. I didn't think it was significant enough to warrant annulment. And therefore, he didn't annul on the day that he heard what she said. Rabbi Meir Omer lo yofer. Rabbi Meir says, too bad. You can't be mefer. Now, there's a concept we want to introduce, and it's going to be very significant for the continuation of the Gemara. And that is, there's a concept we're introducing now called miktsas shmiya, partial hearing. This fellow became aware only later on that what his wife had said was a real neder. He knew all the time there is a concept of hafora, but only now did he become aware that what she said was a real vow. So Rabbi Meir says, if that doesn't help him, he cannot be mefer now. And the reason for that is that we expect of him to have annulled anyway. In other words, when you heard her say whatever she did, why didn't you annul it? You knew there's such a thing as annulling. If it was a real vow, so good, you annulled it. If it wasn't a real vow, what difference does it make that you said, I annul? V'chachomim oimrim yofer. The chachomim, we want to note ahead of time, is Rebbe Yehuda. Now, we look at Rashi together. Rashi you see on the lower part of the page, in the middle of the wide lines of the Rashi commentary. Rebbe Meir oimer lo yofer, li'achar zman. You can't, this husband cannot be mefer a while later. When he discovers that what she had said was a real vow requiring hafora, since he knew originally, he knew at the outset the nature of annulment, and he didn't bother annulling, he is negligent. My time, why didn't he? Of annul e neder who if it's a real vow shapiro of the mefer then his annulment was good would have been good e lav neder who and if it's not a vow what she had said was not a vow mayach basle may dehafer what difference does it make to him had he annulled something that didn't really warrant annulment viko mitzas shmiya kechol shmiya and here we have a concept and that is this we'll say partial awareness. Is considered complete awareness. The concept of awareness is based on the pasuk of Yom Shamo. On the day that a husband hears the vow, he has only that day in which to be mefer. And now this fellow is considered Miktsas Shamo. In what sense? He had partial awareness of what was going on, namely he was aware of the possibility of annulment. And therefore, that partial awareness is considered full awareness. Rashi goes on, V'chachomim omrim yofer, Hayovelo Huvra Hadover, since it wasn't totally clear to him, Vayavagav the Iko Miksa Shmia, Eino Kechol Shmia, even though there was this partial Shmia, partial awareness, it's not considered full awareness. Chachomim de Masnisen Hainu Rabbi Yehuda. Chachomim of the Mishnah represents the Tano Rabbi Yehuda. Now that we've set up the names together with their opinions, we raise a contradiction. And that's how the Gemara opens, Viraminu. On the side, we have an Osei topic heading, Miksas Yediyah, partial awareness. Hayim Nechshav Kechol Yediyah, is that considered full awareness? Bafaras Nedarim, B'chayve Golios, Yir Miklat. B'chayve Golios has to do with the cities of refuge, which is relevant to the topic of one who committed a murder unintentionally, called Morserach B'shogeg. The Gemara will introduce us to a few psukim regarding that topic of Rotzeach B'shogeg, and we're going to be talking about a person who is unsighted, who is blind, who commits an unintentional murder. On the side of the Gemara, we have a starred note. This starred note will be relevant after we read the two lines of the upcoming source, in which we'll see a contradiction. So the Gemara continues with a contradiction. Below Rose, this is a quote from the Pasuk in Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Chav Gimel. We've written the Pasuk on the side of the Gemara, which, as we said, deals with someone who commits a murder unintentionally. And it says, O b'chol evin asher yomus ba, he kills someone with a stone that's capable of killing, below ra'os, without seeing, vayapel, olo vayomos, v'hu lo oyev, lo v'lo mevakesh ra'oso. And the person that committed this murder, it's unintentional, was not an enemy, was not seeking out his evil. The source says, below ra'os, prat l'suma, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This pasuk informs us that a blind man who commits a murder unintentionally is not to go into exile. He is not subject to the rules of Ir Miklat. Rabbi Meir Omer l'rabois es ha-suma. Rabbi Meir says the opposite. The pasuk is coming to include the suma. At this point in the Gemara, we have a Gzeiras HaKosov that tells us how to deal with the Summa. What we have to think about is what would have been their opinions without the Gzeiras HaKosov. For example, Rabbi Yehuda says that the Pasuk comes to exclude the Summa. Now, without the Pasuk, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Summa, he's a blind man, he has partial awareness. He hears, but doesn't see what's going on. He hears what's going on in his surroundings. So he has partial awareness. That partial awareness would have been considered enough. It would have been considered full awareness. And full awareness meaning awareness of the presence of the victim. And when we speak about shogeg, the unintentional aspect, that simply means lack of intention to kill, but full awareness of surroundings. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, had I not had this pasuk, I would have said that the partial awareness is considered full awareness, and he would have gone into the city of refuge upon committing an unintentional murder. What did Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah say? Partial awareness was not considered full awareness, and that's what gave the husband the ability to annul the vow many days after he heard the initial vow, because his initial hearing of the vow was only partial awareness, and that's not considered awareness of the vow, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Hence you see a contradiction. Furthermore, with regard to Rabbi Meir, What does Rabbi Meir say here in the case of the Sumah, the blind man? He says the Gzeres HaKosov is coming to include the blind man as being bound by the rules of cities of refuge. Namely, he would go into exile to a city of refuge upon committing an unintentional murder. What would I have thought, according to Rabbi Meir, without the Pasuk? Well, without the Pasuk, according to Rabbi Meir, the partial awareness that a blind man has is not considered full awareness of surroundings. It's not, partial is not considered full. He would have been excluded from the Ir Miklat if not for this Pasuk below Ra'os. What did Rabbi Meir say in the Mishnah regarding partial awareness? There he said partial awareness of the vow was considered full awareness, and as a result of his not annulling upon hearing the vow in its initial form with his partial awareness, he can no longer be mefer because so many days have lapsed. Hence, with regard to Rabbi Meir also, we see a stira. Now, we look at the note on the side. The starred note reads, Lefi Rashi, according to Rashi, Suma Yeshlo Mitzis Yediya, a Suma, objectively speaking, has partial awareness. He hears what's going on around him, but he doesn't see. Therefore, it's called partial awareness. Ubeli HaPosuk, Hayinu Omrim L'Rebbe Meir. Without the Posuk, we would have said, according to Rebbe Meir, the Mitzis Yediya, Eino Bichlal Yediya. Vizu deloka Rabbi Meir, b'mishnah. What Rabbi Meir says regarding the Ir Miklat and the blind individual, that it is partial awareness, is not considered full awareness. That doesn't jive with Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah. Umemela logola, in the case of the Ir Miklat, because there's only partial awareness, had there not been a pasuk, he wouldn't have gone into exile. Therefore, the pasuk is needed to come to include the blind individual. And we note he'ora, and just a notation that ha'ikaron shalov mevusas golus, the principle upon which exile to a city of refuge is based. He knows shemotzech yodash yesham adam, v'rak lo hiskavin lahargo. It's based on the idea that a person was fully aware that someone was there, and he simply did not have intention to kill that individual. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Pei Ches. Omar Rava, and note that we have a long marking, and if you need to access Mark Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Rava says, Hachom inyone dekra, v'hachom inyone dekra. There isn't a contradiction per se. Rather, you have to judge each case, the case of the vows and the case of the ir miklat, on its own merits. Each one on its own merits, and not to create, let's say, principles that we apply across the boards. Reb Yehuda Sovar, and the triangles, as you can see, are used to highlight the Gemara's explanation of each opinion, Reb Yehuda, and then later Rebbe Meir. Reb Yehuda Sovar, Gabi Rotseach Ksiv, Vashur Yovoi Esreo Bayar. The pasuk that speaks with regard to the unintentional murder, it says, and he who comes into the forest. We have the relevant psukim cited on the side of our Gemara. So if we look together, maybe we'll read the psukim to get a flavor of what's going on scripturally. On the top of our page in the inside margin, you can see Dvarim Yutes Pasuk Dalet. The Gemara just quoted Pasuk Hey, but the Pasuk right before says, V'zeh Dvar HaRotzech Asher Yonu Shama V'chai Asher Yakeh Esreu B'Vlidas. This is the teaching, the rules of the unintentional murderer that shall run to the city of refuge and live there. He who killed his friend without bivli das, he has no hatred toward him from beforehand. It was an unintentional murder. Vasher yavo esrael bayar lachdei veitzim, and a case of someone that enters a forest to chop wood. V'nitche yoda begarzen lichros haetz, and he's wielding his axe to chop wood. V'noshal abarzel mino eitz, Ve'umotza esreu, and the axe head or a piece of wood was ejected and met the victim, and the impact killed him. Hu yonus el achas ha'orim ha'ila v'chay. So the one who was wielding the axe will run to a city of refuge. So Rav Yehuda says, in the case of Rotseach, the Pasuk says, Vasher yovo Yisrael b'yar, kol debar me'al liyar. Who is the Pasuk speaking about? Who is the Pasuk referring to when it discusses the individual wielding the axe? So Rabbi Yehuda says, anyone who can enter a forest, the sumo, nami, bar, me'al liyar hu. And a blind man is also someone who's capable of entering a forest and wielding an axe. So the pasuk at that point could very well be describing the sumo who eventually will be sent to the Ir Miklat. Ve'i amris b'loy ra'ois l'rabbis is hasumo. And if you're going to say, like Rabbi Meir, that the expression of b'loy ra'ois is coming to that, and below Rose, by the way, this was the pasuk that we cited earlier from Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Hey Pasuk Chav Gimel. It's in a totally different section of the Torah than the pasuk we're citing right now. So Rabbi Yehuda says that if you're going to go like Rabbi Meir, that below Rose is coming to include the Suma, well, Miyar Nafgale, that would have already been learned from the Asher Yovo Esrei Bayar Pasuk. So, what does below Ra'os come to do? Ela Shma Mina Beloy Ra'os Prat L'Suma. Below Ra'os must be coming to exclude the Suma. What we have here, in effect, would be a Ribui Acha Ribui. Namely, Asher Yovo Esrei Bayar is seemingly on face value coming to include, and if you accept the idea that below Ra'os is coming to include, you would really have, as Rabbi Yehuda says, you really have a ribui acha ribui, an inclusionary following an inclusionary type pasuk. And when you have a setup like that, its ultimate effect is going to be to limit. And as a result, Rabbi Yehuda says, Prat L'Suma, that the Torah excludes a Suma who commits a murder unintentionally from the rules of Ir Miklat, the cities of refuge. We take a look at Rashi, a few lines down from Rabbi Yehuda, Sovar, Kol Debar Me'o Liyarhu, Kol Mishiyochol Ikones Liyar Goyle, anyone who can enter a forest and wield an axe is subject potentially to the rules of running to city of refuge. Vafilu sumo b'mashma, even the blind man is included as someone who is capable of wielding an axe in a forest. The osib loros, the lo istrich, comes along the expression below ros, which in and of itself is really not necessary. The fihechi de misrabi mi blo ros, misrabi nami miar. Just like lo ros, the pasuk that says, and a murder was committed without his seeing. Well, that would seem to include the blind man, but Miyar also includes the blind man. Vapi ribui acha ribui, v'yein ribui acha ribui elu l'mayit. U'below Ra'os, memayit l'suma. And as a result, below Ra'os will come to exclude the suma. As we said, because if its actual purpose was to include the suma, include the blind man, that was already accomplished by Asher Yovo Esrei Bayar. We continue in the Gemara. Rebbe Meir Sovar, Ksiv Bivlidas. This expression was in Devorim, Perek Yutes Posuk Dalid. Namely, a person commits a murder, Bivlidas. Kol Debar Meida. Vesuma Lav Bar Meidahu. Bivlidas is a reference to anyone who is capable of Meida. Now, what is Meida mean? And here, this is a trick you have to learn along with the commentaries. Rashi explains Meida means awareness. Anyone who is capable of awareness that when he throws a rock, he knows where it lands. Well, a suma is lav bar medo. He's not capable of that. A suma, a blind man, when he throws a projectile, he doesn't know where it's going to land. So the Bavli Das expression, in effect, comes to exclude a blind man. The I amris below Ra'os prat l'suma, and if you're going to say that below Ra'os comes to exclude the blind man, like Rabbi Yehuda had said, well, mibli das nafkale, that is already learned from bli das, that a blind man is excluded from the rules of ir miklat. So what you would have is you would have a double exclusion. And as a result of a double exclusion, at the end of the day, we call that a miut achar miut, and that comes to include. As we often say in mathematical terms, two negatives equals a positive. So too here. Ela shma mina. Let me read that again, though. V'yamris bivlo ro'os prat l'sumo, mibli das nafkale. If you were to say that below comes to exclude a blind man, well, that idea of excluding the blind man is learned already from the expression of bli das. Ela shma mina, below ro'os l'rabos es hasuma. So therefore, we have to conclude that the ultimate purpose of below ro'os is coming to include the blind man based on this concept of a double exclusion. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.